With COVID-19, most of us had to learn to adapt our daily routines quite quickly. For students, this meant moving their classrooms to online spaces, utilizing technology like Zoom and Google Classrooms. A recent report entitled Future-Proofing Students, What They Need to Know and How Educators Can Assess and Credential Them by the Melbourne Graduate School of Education suggests that this move could serve as an opportunity to reshape the way in which students are assessed. To learn more, we are now speaking with Sandra Milligan. Sandra led the research of this report, as well as an enterprise professor at the Melbourne Graduate School of Education. Good morning, Sandra.
Hi, Marlene.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
Now, how do Australia's current attitudes towards education and learning impact our students at the moment?
Well, Marlene, I think our report focuses on one area where our school system is a bit stuck in the 20th century and really stops students from being able to have the knowledge, attitudes and skills that they need in the future to handle things like COVID and climate change and bushfires and whatever else the world is going to throw at them over their lives. And our report identified a real mismatch in how we credential students, in other words, how we report on what they know and can do at the end of their schooling or at the end of their year, and what teachers and students really think they need to know. So there's a big gap between what we credential and assess and what we really know students need to know these days, and that's what our report focused on.
I thought it was quite interesting because I was taking a read about the report, and I thought it was interesting how it said that there should be a way in which you can look at the skills and stuff that employers will need afterwards. Because, I mean, for example, saying you've got good literacy is a really good thing, but employers might want to know how you take on advice or if you are reliable and this sort of thing as well. What kind of skills are most beneficial for future-proofing our students?
I think you've got it in one there. When we talk to employers and students and teachers, they all say that there's a set of skills and attitudes and knowledge that you know in addition to the traditional things like subjects and so forth that are not there, that are really taught often but just not recognised. And they include the things that you mentioned, like capacity to collaborate, the capacity to be critical, and, for instance, being able to tell the difference between fake news and real news, the capacity to work in a digital environment, as we've all had to do recently, and personal skills like being persistent and taking a problem-solving orientation to things, and social skills like being able to work and live with people with diverse cultural backgrounds and being able to understand the global society in which we reach, in which we work. And all of those things are really important. They're central in discussions of the Australian curriculum.
Absolutely.
For instance, if you look at the Australian curriculum, they're all there. Mm. The funny thing is that we just sort of expect students to absorb all of this by osmosis and we don't assess it, we don't give them any feedback about how they're going, we don't report on it, which is something that employers have been complaining about for a long time. So our report went through what you'd have to do to change that situation.
That's really interesting because that is quite a gap between just having it in the curriculum but being able to have it assessed and students being able to grapple with it, well, physically and literally in whichever other way. Can you tell us a bit about learner profiles? I found that quite interesting.
Yes. We don't invent all of this stuff in university. We work with people who are actually tackling the problem and doing something about it. And we've worked with a large number of schools, including some schools from Sydney like Liverpool Boys and the Big Picture Schooling System. And what we find is that there's a particular way you can represent this broad scope of achievement, and it's called learner profiles. So it's designed to complement or even maybe replace, who knows, something like the ATAR, which just gives one number, whereas a profile sort of provides in a very succinct diagram all the patterns of things that people can do and what their strengths are. It's a bit fiddly to produce, but schools can do them, and employers and universities and so forth that we've worked with say this gives a much better picture of a student than just a number. And so the whole idea of a learner profile is starting to take off, I think.
That's so interesting, and a really interesting way to look at the transition between school and employment and university and after-school life.
Yes, that's right. And I think we'll see more of these learner profiles over the next few years, and hopefully they'll become an important staple in our reporting. And, you know, kids love them too because they show the full measure of what they know and can do and who they are, which is really, after all, what schooling should be about, developing all of that.
Absolutely. More to the lifelong learning journey. Unfortunately, we do have to leave it there, but thank you so much for joining us and telling us all about it.
Thanks, Marlene.